So we're here at Fringe Central. It's quiet because it's a Sunday and it's early. So a lot of Fringe performers are there. All out on the Royal Mile, aren't they? They've been there since 6 a.m. in the rain.
I expect so. I'm
joined by...
Justin Brett from Showstoppers.
Now, for people that don't know, this is a legend at the Fringe, and not just at the Fringe, elsewhere. Just give us the brief kind of history and what Showstoppers is.
Sure. Well, Showstopper the Improvised Musical is the full title of the show, and that's exactly what we do. We improvise a full musical, West End show, and now officially a West End show, based on audience suggestions. So the audience will give us a setting and musical theatre stars that they want to hear us do, and a title, and then we just get on with it and do, you know, a full West End musical, but that just happens to be made up on the spot. And it started in 2008. Dylan Emery and Adam Megiddo, our kind of artistic directors and co-creators, were working with the legend Ken Campbell, this theatrical maverick, and he thought it would be a fun thing to try improvising a musical. He'd been to Canada and met all these great improvisers. There's a big scene over there, and he came back and sort of said, oh, let's try and improvise a musical, and so they did, and I think Ken got bored of that idea, but a couple of them thought, actually, this has got legs. And so there were a couple of trial shows at the King's Head in London, in Islington, pub theatre there, and then in 2008 it was like 40-seater porter cabin up here, and I think the first show was called The Shifting Sands of Time. And now, since then, we've done over 1,000 shows, and we've been going for 12 years. More than that. I joined in 2011, so 3 years after that. Yeah, it's the best gig in the world for me.
Yeah, and I guess I want to unpack that too. Sure. But from the point of view of sort of the naive listener, and I'll be that person, to do this hundreds of times, it's not possible, is it?
Well, clearly, it is.
But how do you make it possible?
In terms of not repeating ourselves
and not burning out.
Partly I don't know. There's some sort of ethereal magic that keeps us together, but also we really are committed to. There's a lot of conspiracy theories, I think, about people. Genuinely, because it's slick and we're good at it, because we work really hard and we practice a lot. I'll come back to practice in a minute, but people think, you know, oh, they don't properly write it, or they have set pieces, or the tunes aren't improvised, or the songs are, and actually that would be terrible. And the only way to do it is to go in completely with a fresh beginner's mind every time, and try to discover whatever the story is that's happening on that day at that moment. Yeah. Between those people, you know, in different characters. So we've done, you know, we've done lots of fish and chip shop settings. We've done lots of settings in bakeries. We've done lots of settings, and, you know, we've done a few in Noah's Ark, but they've all been very different, you know, because we would deliberately try to steer away from not doing the same or similar stories. Do you know what I mean?
I guess the reality of it is that, just as, you know, when you improvise in life, you're drawing on your library too of things that have happened to you in your life. You guys have done it hundreds of times, and you're going to draw on, you know, what's happened to you in shows, aren't you? You're not going to say, well, we won't do that because we did it 8 years ago.
I think you can sort of hamstring yourself if you go, oh, we're not going to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. I mean, basically, there are stories, and there are stories, and stories kind of have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and are structured often in similar ways, like all stories are. You know, our songs are structured like songs are. You know, people improvise songs and they kind of can meander, but we kind of do our improvising songs around the structure of, so we improvise sort of actual songs in the same way that we want to improvise actual stories that have some sort of a structure to them, in terms of, you know, a low point, a high point, some sort of resolution at the end, reincorporation of stuff that happened before, you know, where we can, in order to make it a proper story, you know. And also, every time we come to do a show, we are slightly different people because new things have happened to us. So the show, as we are, you know, evolves with us and with the world as well at the same time.
And the reason why I like doing the interviews here at Fringe Central, with anything can be in the background, as we just had, is that in our lives, which are very kind of prescribed, you know, if you're any kind of job, is people, particularly here, we like the unpredictable, don't we? We like a bit of chaos, and that's what improv provides.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I think improv thrives on that, actually. And that what we are trying to do with the show is kind of be these chaotic clowns that don't quite know how difficult it is to improvise a musical, in a way. And also walk the tightrope of, you know, doing something that's hard. There is a kind of chaotic nature to it, and a kind of irreverence. And it's reining in that chaos and kind of finding, you know, kind of, yeah, exactly. I think harnessing chaos. I think we're kind of like harnessing chaos at some level.
Now, you've used the word harness, and I think the bit that sometimes people confuse us when they think, well, they kind of can't be doing it really, is that just like when you mentioned Chicago and the Chicago School, suggests that what you do is you practice, you learn, and you rehearse the skills rather than, you know, the content in advance. You're always rehearsing, aren't you, as an improv group? You're always improving and developing and warming up and doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, and clearly you've done your homework about improv. That's the most common question. We are always practicing, and we are, you know, and we kind of reap the rewards of being competent at what we do because of that. And it's you know, one of the analogies that we use is a bit like being a football team, you know, a sports team, where you practice your skills, you practice your fitness, you practice how to pass to each other, how to play with each other, you know, and how to kind of think as a team. But of course, when you get out on the pitch, you know, anything's going to happen, and you don't know what that could be.
But now, Justin, I guess I come to the bit earlier about you finding it so joyful and loving it, is that I guess, I'm not trying to psychoanalyse you, we've only just met, but do you think improvisers are running away from too much structure and predictability?
That's interesting. I am currently, just for you, ladies and gentlemen, I am currently lying on a comfortable sofa with a desk lamp, and he's just lit a pipe, as Paul, and is reading a book on Freud. Are we running away from unpredictability?
Or is that what draws you?
Are we running away from predictability?
Yeah, learning lines.
I find that really hard now. Maybe. I've been doing a lot of scripted work, a lot of acting musician shows, a lot of plays. I've been an actor for, you know, 25 years now and more. And then for the last kind of 8 years, I have thrilled but working almost exclusively in improvising. And I think maybe that is this sort of, I think I've found my thing now. For the time being, that may change. But there is something, there is something about the chaos. And I think, I've done plays and you get somebody being annoyed because somebody goes, oh, well, they're doing this thing that we didn't do that in rehearsal, or this didn't happen in rehearsal. And it becomes about a kind of a battle of egos, and people think, you know, feel their status is being trampled on. Which happens a lot in the workplace as well, you know, that, and actually the whole, I think what I really like is the democratic nature of improvising, because you have to check your ego in at the door, and your job as a good improviser is to make the people on stage with you look as fabulous as possible.
Yeah.
And if you have an idea that might be brilliant and the narrative goes a different way, the skill there is to shelve your idea and go with that one. And for me, that was such a great discovery. And I've done quite a lot of acting musician shows where that's sort of actually part of the ethos anyway. You can't do an acting musician show and then think you're the star of it because you ain't, you know. And you can't do an improv show and think you're the star of it because you ain't. You might be playing a stuffed goose at the back, you know, and a painting on a wall.
Yeah.
And the next minute you might be singing a torch song at the front. But you've got to, and you'll be doing, in our show, you'll be doing both of those.
Yeah.
You know, one scene to the next, and so the show is bigger than all of us, and for me that's really important, and that's the way I like to work, actually.
Now I suppose I'm going to challenge that in a good way, because I see a lot of improv, I've talked to a lot of improvisers, and there is one sort of view too that the heart of improv about leaving your ego at the door and the offer, and that people accept always, is that when you get to a certain level of trust, though, you can block, and then it can go somewhere really interesting. And that happens sometimes in long-form improv, that actually when you watch, you are accepting, but sometimes it's quite good if you push back too.
Yeah, I think that's kind of... Yes, I would agree. And I think that's on a kind of a higher... you know, you're learning it, and you learn to sort of say yes to everything. But also, if you're working with a kind of narrative structure... one of the things you learn is when to shelve. Yeah, is what to shelve. And sometimes, you know, when I remember when I was just starting, I started with Showstoppers and was in a couple of other groups, and there was a kind of magpie principle where there would be a shiny thing would happen. It might be a joke would just come in, and then you go, oh, we've got to say yes to this joke, and then you go off into crazy town, and it's not so satisfying. No. So I think the skill is also to learn, you're right, what to shelve.
Or it's a sort of deeper acceptance as well.
Yeah, maybe a deeper acceptance. And then also, if your offer does get blocked, to accept that, so that your offer was blocked for a greater reason than you might have thought at the time, actually, and to accept that. But that comes with trust.
Yeah.
And also, saying no isn't always a block. Sometimes, you know, that's another a thing to learn, is that when improvising, you say yes to everything. Saying no can also be a yes in its own way.
Yeah,
as you say, yeah.
Now, when I ask some people why they go to loads of improv shows, and this year, for example, Fringe Review has done a top 50, and there are far more as well.
Holy,
there is just
really?
So much. Improvised novels, movies, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people say it's thrilling, and they go more for the thrill, and they go back for the thrill. And in a world that's scripted, is it a sort of act of naughtiness to not do a script?
Is it an act of naughtiness?
Is that what we like, that we're in a room and we're doing a musical? And normally musicals are all written, people get paid loads, you've got to rehearse, and you end up, and I've seen it, ending up doing a musical that if some people didn't know, they might just think they'd seen a scripted musical because it was that good, that the songs were that good.
Well, let's hope. I mean, that's...
But it does happen sometimes. I mean, literally that.
Yeah, it does. It does. And... Yeah, I think there's something about there's a sense of collaboration, and the fact is also that it's more exciting. I mean, we kind of, when people go, oh my God, that was amazing, it's like you've written it, and then, you know, you think, I often think, oh, I would have hoped if we had written it, it would be better than an improvised, it would be better than an improvised thing. But yeah, but you're right, people do say that sometimes, and it really it does surprise me. But I think there's something about the experience of it. It's it's more of an experiential theatrical event than watching a written thing, because you are partly collaborating. You know, the laughter will, if something's funny, you'll laugh, and that will also, you know, I find as an improviser and showstopper specifically, well, and actually in anything, the laughter will guide you. And you can hear the audience, and if they gasp at something, or if something doesn't quite happen. Also, I've done quite a lot of stand-up and comedy over the years, so kind of you've got that part of my brain is always just gauging the audience, what's working, what isn't, as well as trying to be emotionally connected to it. And I think the audience is giving you offers. Yeah, if they laugh, that's an offer. You'll further that, but then being disciplined to a point where you're not just going to kind of mug it off and go and blow it for laughs, because there's a skill, there's a learned skill in when to rein that in, and also which is also kind of respecting the input of the audience. So I think, if it's good, the sense of it is kind of greater than if it's a written thing, maybe.
Two final questions. Showstopper is a legend because it does this so well. What is it that makes it work so well with you guys?
We work really hard. And we listen to each other. That's sort of, you know, we're a bunch of people who have an aptitude for this sort of thing, but it's a skill. You know, anyone can learn to do it. And we also do. We also, for the record, we teach courses as well, which you can come on. But we work. We practice a lot. As I say, we meet regularly, and we all of us really care about it. We've all got, you know, our iPods and stuff are filled with musical theatre songs. We've got a Rolodex of 300 or 400 shows that we can kind of draw on. If somebody says this show, we'll know it. Or if we don't, we'll say, oh, tell us about that show. So, you know, in terms of a back catalogue of musical theatre, we all love that. And I think our varied, you know, some of us are from comedy, some of us are from theatre, some are from other background, you know, music. So everybody's kind of brings a different input. And I think that sort of collaboration of differences in the room is, and we, you know, and we get the thrill of being able to play anything. And for us, there's always a joy. We always want to turn up and we always want to work. And we work hard. And that's kind of the secret.
And when you mentioned the back catalogue, your eyes just lit up. So, you know, there's great, good memories in all these shows. My final question is either going to inspire you, excite you, or trouble you.
Right, okay.
So you get a phone call from one of the big groups in Chicago, and they're going to pay all your expenses and a really decent fee to join them in a musical, improvised musical there for a few weeks. The only difference is it's going to be a serious musical. What are you thinking about on the plane?
Great. A serious improvised musical.
So it's not a comedy musical. It's a piece of serious musical going on here.
Great.
It's going to be improvised.
Great. Well, I mean, sometimes, yeah, I'm up for that. But I guess ours is sort of has a comedic bent. It's a comedy show. But also we deal with difficult themes sometimes. You know, people die. People get diseases and wars happen in our shows sometimes. Mm. And we don't shy away from that. And actually some of our most memorable, my favourite shows are where, you know, there have been proper moments they haven't resolved happily. You know, it's ended with kind of half some people dead and some people alive, and you go, well, this is sort of how the world carries on from here in this world, in the world of this show. You know, and often says audiences do cry, and we do. You know, we get very involved in it. So I would say yes and to a serious musical.
Okay, well, we'll make a few phone calls and see what happens.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Justin, for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.